If you still have your Bibles open to Revelation chapter 5, I want to read the rest of the chapters, just 8 more verses. Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, and which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all them that are in them, heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever." In Revelation chapter 4, we get a preview of the rapture. Jesus coming to take his picture home, to take his people home, for us to be with him. Here in chapter 5 of Revelation, the scene changes. It's no longer an earthly scene, but a heavenly scene. We'll be there. You can be there. I can be there. Sometimes we get tired of what's going on here, down here on earth. Well, just hang on. One of these days we're going to get to go to heaven and be with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get to that place called heaven, we'll see a scene that is described here. We'll get to see some of the same things. One of the things that we will see when we get to heaven is a lamb as it had been slain. There'll be no doubt in anybody's mind who that lamb is. That lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. A lamb slain, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world. You see, before God made anything that we see about it, he already had a plan in mind to redeem sinners. He already had a plan in mind to buy people back to himself. He would send his only begotten Son into the world, let mankind take him, nail him to a cross. And as he hung on that cross, God would lay on him every sin of every person that's ever lived. And Jesus Christ, as a lamb slain, would pay for those sins. This morning, real simply, I want you to notice three things about that lamb. Number one, that lamb has a book. That lamb has a book. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, I know that book contained the seven judgments, and we read about them later in the book of Revelation. But that book was part of the Bible. And so my first point is, we have a lamb slain, as it had been slain, with a book, and that book is the Bible. You see, the Bible is the written word of God. The lamb, Jesus Christ, is the living word of God. They go together. That's what the Bible's all about, the lamb slain. You don't get very far in the Bible before you read about a man named Abel who brought a lamb to God. The Bible tells us that his offering was accepted, and his brother Cain, who brought an offering of produce, the fruit of the land, so to speak, was rejected. Well, the reason that Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's was rejected is because God had told mankind to approach him with a blood offering. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Abel's offering, because it was a lamb slain, was well-pleasing to God. Because way back in the early chapters of the book of Genesis, God was painting a picture of what the lamb slain was going to do for us. He was painting a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was going to be that lamb that would take away the sin of the whole world. We go a little bit further in the book of Genesis. We read about Abraham. God had instructed him to take his only son, promise, son of promise, up to a mountain and to offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham took Isaac up to that mountain, tied him up, laid him on the altar, had the knife in the air, ready to plunge it into his son's heart and take his life from him and be obedient to God and offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And God said, Abraham, stop! Stop! I see your willingness to be obedient to me. You don't need to sacrifice your son. And God already had a ram in the bush, ready for Abraham to sacrifice. That ram was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would take our place and pay for our sins. You don't go much further in the Bible until you read about the Passover lamb. That lamb that had no blemish, that was taken on the 10th day of the month and set aside until the 14th. And then that lamb was killed, and the blood was drained into a basin. And God told his people that in order to avoid the death angel coming into their house and killing their firstborn son, that they would take that blood and take a common weed called hyssop, dip it in the blood, and sprinkle it on the doorpost of the house. And God said, if you do that, when the death angel comes tonight, the 10th plague that God sent to get his people out of Egypt, when the death angel comes tonight, when he sees the blood on the doorpost, he'll pass over that house and not go in and kill the firstborn. Again, a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be for us, our Passover lamb. His blood applied frees us, as both Gary and Angie sang about, frees us from sin, frees us from the penalty of sin, frees us from death. A lamb. They saw in that heavenly scene a lamb as it had been slain. You see, it wasn't just a perfect lamb. It was a lamb that was killed. The blood had to be shed. The blood had to be applied. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. John the Baptist called Jesus the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's always been a lamb. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Isaiah calls him the slaughtered lamb. Peter calls him the perfect lamb. He wrote, not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish. Amen. He's our lamb. He's our lamb. In Revelation 22, verse 1, the Bible says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. 28 times in the book of Revelation, Jesus is called the Lamb of God. This morning, I lift up that Lamb. I lift up Jesus Christ. I lift up the lamb that has been slain. It's a lamb that has a book that is the book, the living word of God. Thank God this morning for the lamb. Thank God that he takes away our sin. Thank God he's given us a book that tells us all about it. The written word, the living word. We need both of them. But the Bible says also a lamb with a throne. If that throne didn't have a lamb on it, we couldn't come. I know the Bible invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace. I know the Bible says you come into the presence of God and you can make your requests known. I know the Bible says that's how we should come. But without the Lamb on the throne, without the living Lamb of God on the throne, there was no way that we could approach the throne. He's the one that provides the access. He's the one that makes us able to come before the throne of God. Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, had four sons. Three of them died in childbirth. One, Robert Todd Lincoln, lived to adulthood. When he was a little boy, the story is recorded of how he came to the president's office and the door was closed. He had a broken toy in his hand and he was crying. He wanted to go in and see his dad, his father. But one of the Secret Service men, I don't know what they called them back then, but said, no, you can't go into that office. That's the president's office. And that little boy said, but the president is my dad, and I need him.
The story goes that the president heard the conversation, opened the door, and ushered his son into his office. I'm glad that I have a lamb that opens the door and gets me to the throne of God. If it wasn't for that lamb, I would not have access. If it wasn't for that lamb, I could not come boldly before the throne of grace. If it wasn't for that lamb, I could not come near to God. But thank God, praise God, I have a lamb that was slain that allows me to be made one with God. My sin is forgiven. So it's a lamb with a book. Number two, I want you to notice it's a lamb with a people. We read in that verse, number of them were was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. God has a people. That lamb has a people. Now, some people look at this verse and say, well, that's the universal church. I don't believe in the universal church. I believe in the local church. I believe in a church like this. I believe one day all the churches are going to get together and we're going to go to heaven, everybody that's saved. Christ in the book of Revelation was in the center of the church. I mean, you look at the opening chapters of the book of Revelation, he is right in the center of the candlesticks of the churches that the Apostle John wrote to under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's where Christ ought to be. Christ ought to be in the center of every church. Every church ought to revolve around him. Everything in the church ought to revolve around the Savior. If it doesn't, the church is off base. The church needs to put Jesus Christ in the middle of everything. That's what we try to do here. We try to put him in the middle of everything. That's where he belongs. That's where he needs to be. And if he's in the middle of a church, in the middle of a people, then we can do what God wants us to do. Amen. We talked about it in Sunday school. What he wants us to do is go out and tell other people about him. What he wants us to do is go out and tell other people about how Jesus has satisfied our longings and how he can satisfy their longings. What he wants us to do is go out and tell people about how he forgave our sin and how he forgave their sin. He wants us to go out and tell them how we have a home in heaven and they can have a home in heaven. He wants us to go out and tell people, hey, look, you don't have to go to hell. You come to Jesus Christ and you can have life, and you can have life more abundantly, but it's only through him, not anything else. Amen. Not anyone else. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's how we get to heaven. And I want to tell you something this morning. I want to remind you of a truth. It might not be a truth that you think about very often, but there is room in heaven. You see, I believe God had heaven designed before he made the world. I believe that God made room in heaven before he designed the world and created the first man. I believe God designed heaven with enough room for every person that would ever be born. Say, preacher, God knew some people would reject self. I know that. I know God knows. But I believe that he made heaven with enough room, with plenty of room, for every single person that's ever been born. You see, my God's not willing that any should perish. My God wants everybody to go to heaven. So why wouldn't we think that if God wants nobody to perish, if God wants everybody to go to heaven, why wouldn't you think about heaven big enough for every single person that's ever lived? I do. I think it's big enough. I know this, it's big enough for you. It's big enough for you. Talked about how many thousands and thousands of creatures that will be there, how many thousands and thousands of people that will be there. But you know what? There's still room for you. Amen. There's still room for you. I mean, heaven's not going to get full, and God's going to have to say, well, nobody else can get saved because heaven is full. That's never going to happen. I don't know how long it's going to be before the Lord comes back. I think he could come back today if he wanted to. I think everything's been fulfilled. I'm not looking for anything else to be fulfilled. He could come at any moment. Or he could come 100 years from now. I don't know. I don't know how many. Brother Dan always prays. There's one person that God's looking for, the last one that's going to be saved, and Jesus will come. I don't know when that's going to be. Could be today. It could be 100 years from now. I don't know how many more people are going to get saved before Jesus comes back. I don't know. But I know this. There's room for them in heaven. There's room for you in heaven. You don't have to worry about God putting a no vacancy sign up. You don't have to worry about God saying no more room in heaven. There is room for in heaven because we have a lamb that was slain that not only has a book, but has a people. Most of us here this morning are part of that people because we've received Jesus Christ. If you're here and you've never done that, you can do it this morning. You can be part of that group. And again, you don't become part of that group by being good, by keeping the rules, by turning over a new leaf. You become part of that group by admitting that you're a sinner and understanding there's a penalty for that sin, but that when Jesus went to the cross, he paid the penalty that you owe.
Amen.
Like Angie sang about, he took our place. What love. He died for us. What love. He died for you. What love. And he offers you a home in heaven, a lamb that had been slain. And then number three, not only a lamb with a book, a lamb with a people, but a lamb with a choir and an amen corner.
Amen.
Now, some of you might not be old enough to know what an amen corner is. In some of the old-time churches, they had the deacon sitting over here in the first couple rows, and every time the preacher said something good, they'd say, amen. Now, they might not have thought that the preacher said anything good, but he told them every now and then, you'd say, amen. And it was an encouragement to the preacher. That was the amen corner. Well, this chapter says that the lamb not only has a choir, but an amen corner.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ferris. Verse 9 tells us about that choir. It's made up of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Jesus just didn't die for the Jews. He died for everybody. Everybody he died for. And that choir sings a new song. It's called Worthy is the Lamb. Now let me tell you something this morning. You won't like that song unless you're saved. You won't like the song Worthy is the Lamb unless you are a new creature created in Christ Jesus and all things are passed away. You see, the Lamb is worthy because it was slain. The Lamb is worthy because it redeemed us by His blood to God. The Lamb is worthy because it made us, in God's sight, the Bible says, kings and priests.
Amen.
And this song says that the Lamb that was slain is worthy to receive power and to receive riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And here's where the amen corner comes in. And the four beasts said, amen. Man, I can't wait to heaven till I get to hear that.
Amen.
That's going to happen one day in heaven. And I tell you all the time, we don't have to wait to heaven to get heaven. I mean, we can start heaven down here.
Amen.
We have a lamb that was slain that is worthy, not someday in heaven, but that is worthy right now to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And we ought to have an amen corner that says, amen, he is worthy.
Amen.
That's the kind of Savior that we have. The one that died for you. Harry Ironside was a pastor. He pastored the Moody Church in Chicago after D.L. Moody retired. He was preaching a revival down in Texas. And he went to visit a rancher that raised sheep. Had thousands and thousands of sheep and little lambs in his flock or herd, whatever you call sheep. And the rancher said to Mr. Ironside, he said, preacher, I want to show you something. And he took him over to one pen where there was a bunch of little lambs in the pen. He said, you see that little lamb right over there in the corner? And Brother Ironside directed his gaze at the little lamb and looked at it and said to the rancher, he said, yeah, I see the lamb. It looks a little deformed. I just quite can't make it out, but it looks different than all the other lambs. And the rancher said, he is. Let me tell you about him. We had a sad situation. We had a little lamb that lost his mother, and then we had a mother that lost her little lamb. And so we had a little lamb without somebody, without a mom to take care of it, and we had a mother who had a little baby lamb but lost it and didn't have anybody to take care of. And so we thought, well, we could just put the two together. The little lamb lost his mom, the mom lost his baby, and if we put them together, the mom would take care of this baby. And we tried that, but it didn't work. We put them in a little pen, and the little lamb went over to the mother, but the mother kept pushing it away with its head. And one of my hands that has worked for me for a long time, he came up to me and said, hey, I have an idea. Let's skin the little lamb that died and put the skin on the little lamb that doesn't have a mother. And we did that, Brother Ironside. We skinned that little lamb that died and tacked that skin onto the lamb that didn't have a mother. And we put it back in the pen with the mother that had lost that little lamb. And she came over and smelled the little lamb. And she became a mother to it. When Jesus saved us, we were clothed in his righteousness.
Amen.
The righteousness of himself. And this morning, you and I are accepted by the Father in the Lamb.
Amen.
In the Lamb. In the Lamb. He clothed us in his righteousness. And I am accepted by God because I am dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you're here this morning and that's not your testimony, you need to come to the Lamb. That Lamb was slain for you. I know he was slain for the sins of all the world, and he is the Lamb that taketh away the sins of all the world. But I believe that if I was the only sinner, or if you were the only sinner, that lamb would have been slain for you.
Amen.
Would have been slain for you. And if you've not come to the point in your life where you've realized that you're a sinner, there's a penalty for that sin, the lamb that was slain paid for that penalty. And if you come and ask him, he'll save you. Would you do that this morning? Would you? Would you? I'm not asking you to become a Baptist, and I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm asking you to become part of the family of God.
Amen.
And the only way you can do that is come through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Lamb that was slain. Thank you that we're dressed in his righteousness before you this morning. We have hope for heaven because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. I pray that we as Christians would rejoice in that this morning. We'd rejoice in the Lamb. We'd sing that song with the heavenly choir. He is worthy to receive honor and glory, riches and power. And then we join in with that amen corner and say, amen, amen, amen. It is so. Let it be so. Give him the glory. Father, I also pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus. They have no idea what we're talking about. No idea of what it is to have their sins forgiven, but they can. They can in the next few moments if they simply come to Jesus Christ. Help them to see their sin. Help them to see the penalty associated with that sin, death, separation from you, and eternity apart from the God that created them. And Father, help them to see the price that was paid on Calvary's cross for their sin, and help them to come to Jesus this morning. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.